Office of Hawaiian Affairs Burial Sites Working Group, BSWG, regarding the care, management, and protection of unmarked burial sites. You know, this is information, discussion, and recommendations, and a discussion and receipt of testimony regarding the above item is going to be appreciated. I am going to, first, before we begin, anybody who would love to, who would like to testify, please put your name in the chat. I see Ku is the first person up. So if you can start to put your names in the chat after Ku's name, that'd be greatly appreciated. That way we can ensure, A, we've gotten everybody and in the right order of which you signed up. Yeah? Okay?
Again, Lale, if I can just add in one more thing.
Please.
I know since this is a testimony item, if there is anybody that wanted to submit a testimony in chat, you know, the best thing would be to speak it, because I post the audio recordings and things in the chat, you know, wouldn't get reflected in the audio minutes. So I would, you know, if in case anybody wanted to add in, you know, little testimonies here and there in the chat, it would be best to save it for to actually speak.
Mahalo, Kea. Mahalo nui. And again, this gives you an opportunity to present oral testimony. Of course, you can always submit written testimony as well. And Kai will elaborate as to where you can submit that written testimony as well. Okay, so I would like to turn the time over to Kai at this point of our meeting, so he can explain what's going on here. Okay, what's happening. Okay, Kai, you ready?
Yeah, mahalo, Chair. And again, aloha. Pihayao ko, pakaya pau. My name is Kai Markel. I am with Office of Hawaiian Affairs, Compliance Enforcement Manager. What I want to do first before I even get going is I'm going to type into, along the lines of what Kea just shared, an email address, and it's basically burial sites, WG, gosh, at oha.org. So it's going to be in the chat here. I need glasses. Burial sites WG at oha.org. If you have any testimony you want to write, or you're going to read from testimony, you want to submit the written one, you have friends or ohana or other people that have ike or mana'o or experiences and they want to share it, please use this email address, and it will be shared with the entire burial sites working group, which is about 14, I think roughly about 14 people now. The information on the working group and their charge is under the agenda, and it's very detailed, but I'm just going to sum it up real quickly. Earlier this year in January.
One quick thing. Sorry. Until what date do they have to submit testimony, please?
So if people can get it by the end of November, it would be helpful. November. Because a report's going to be due to the ledge, and I suspect the draft will be done probably by the end of November. So the earlier you get it in, the more it can be, you know, discussed and utilized. And but just do your best to get in what you can when you can. So I would say if by the end of November would be great. So I don't know if anybody else set a deadline with the working group, but I'm just telling you how it's going to work out is by the end of November, a report will be drafted. So if you want your EK or Mana'o included, please get it in as soon as you can. So
Mahalo. Thank you, Kai.
Thank you for that. Thanks for bringing that up.
Call Mike. Please proceed. Please. Thank you.
So Burial Council chairs, which is about all the Burial Council and islands were represented, in January came out at a press release, a press conference, just talking about frustrations with what they saw as systemic issues with the burial councils. And it went everything from membership appointments to the availability of legal counsel, advice, the administrative support of SHPD. So the burial councils are a separate entity, a separate agency, but they're attached to DLNR and SHPD, who serve as their administrative support. Like Kea, you know, is here to help take the minutes and help draft letters for chair signature, arrange the meetings, run the Zooms, you know, so that's the administrative support. But the council just felt like there had been systemic issues, and some of the islands, I know Oahu has had long agendas and just consternation, Maui as well. There's been contested cases, there's litigation. So based on that press conference, the House and the Senate leadership, Representative Mark Nakashima in the House and Senator Miley Shimabukuro both put forward resolutions asking for kind of a task force or working group to look into the allegations of the systemic, you know, this mismanagement of the burial sites program, of the burial councils, you know, the administrative support, those how to better protect burials. It just seems like there's a constant array of complaints and dissatisfaction over the decades. And unfortunately, it wasn't a concurrent resolution. So the House and the Senate had both different versions, which means it didn't have more of the force and effect of what we would consider more like law, like a mandate. But OHA realized that OHA's got big time kuleana in this issue, and culpability as well. I'll be quite honest, you know, OHA's got some issues as well contributing here. So how do we bring everybody together and try and really look at these systemic issues and then make a report for the legislature, you know, and report back to them and say, this is what we've seen, you know, and I know a lot of it has to do with resources and staffing. I think SHPD, when I was there, got like less than 1% of DLNR's budget, you know, and that's to protect all the islands and all our Vahikupuna and our Iwi and all the most important cherished things here. So I know resource allocation is one issue, but I see people on here who I've worked with 20 years ago who had burial issues who still have the same issues today. Real kama. So what we're looking for is, you know, Ike, share your mana'o, your experiences on what doesn't work, ideas on how to make it better. That kind of Ike is going to be very important for us, because we don't have much time to put together a report, but many of the people on the working group have known about stuff for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So we have a lot of great institutional knowledge, but we're looking for, like, and like Keiki and Keone, Kumukahi, that's just like a case study in what breaks down and what are the issues. So anyway, that's all I want to say. And like Nale said, you can sign up and then they'll call your name out. And then please submit to the email as well. It'll be nice to see it in writing. And that's all. I know time is precious. Thank you.
Alokai for setting up the rationale for this working group and why it's imperative important that it gets done. Again, after 30 years of continuous heva, something's got to be done about it. Yeah, something's got to be done about it. So right now, I see four people signed up. First is, and again, if I mispronounce your name, Kalamaya, was not intentional, but I see Auntie Ku Kakalau, then I see a Deborah Lee Kailivai Ray, a Sharon Moraes, and Lokilani Brett in that order for right now. Okay, if anybody else would like to sign up, please do so. You'd be signing up under Kai Markell's website to submit written testimony. Okay, and of course, Borough Council members, you can voice your Ike and Manawa as well, please. Yes, Kai.
Sorry. Kauai and Maui are going to have theirs. I believe it's the 20th. It's on the same day. But as you saw, Kahu Rupert Rowe showed up from Kauai today. We have some other Kauai Ohana on here. You can also give testimonies at the Kauai meeting, Kauai Nihau. You can give it at the Maui Lanai meeting as well. If there's something you want to say, but you're not ready today, you don't have to be on the island pertaining to the island. This is a statewide island, why I think Kapa'aina issue. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
And again, my last chime in again, and please, if you don't give oral testimony today, you can still do written, yeah. If you can do both, awesome. But of course, if you want to do one or the other, that's fine as well. Okay. Are we ready to begin then? Okay. Then we're going to start. Auntie Ku, you ready?
Ai, aloha mai kako. O wau no o ku hina hina kui kaha kai kaha kalau. Kekia lopaka kaha kalau. Kekia William ke aho nui kaha kalau. Kekia Daniela ke kino kaha kalau me ke au o kupele. Ko Honolulu ku o ne hana o hama kua ku umaku o wai pio ku uwa hawawa a o kunaka ku kahawai. Aloha mai kako. My name is Dr. Ku Kahakalau and I have served on the Hawaii Island Burial Council as the Hamakua representative for 8 years, sometime in 2000. I don't remember the exact dates, but it was Dalei for 8 years, then me for 8 years, and then now him again for the next 8 years. And thank you for pronouncing my name correctly, Dalei. That's no, just joking. And so
we want to place that Ihe dear. Sorry.
So as a Hawaii Island Burial Council member for 8 years, I think my biggest eha is really where are the iwi kupuna that have been disinterred or that were found or that, you know, whatever, however it happened all these years, where are many of those located? You know, do we know where they are? But most importantly, when will they be put back? There's way, way, way too many iwi that were either found inadvertently or dug out because the burial plan said so and whatever, whatever, but that are still in boxes. And that was mentioned before, but I just want to go on record again saying that that is a huge trauma for all of us that feel like we had were in any way involved in it, right? That we have not been able to first of all be, get any kind of accountability on where the iwi are currently located. Are they safe? You know, certainly they can't be happy. We know that for sure. But is anybody taking care of any of that and checking on whatever else? But the most important part is when will they be put back? That is a kuleana of SHPD to give us a timeline, to give us an accountability of hundreds and hundreds of iwi kupuna that have been disinterred or found or, you know, whatever the case may be, and that are somewhere in boxes all over without any of us that have a kuleana to this, knowing where they are and when they're going to be put back and who's going to put them back and all of those things. So to me, as far as a big issue, that is my biggest issue, because that's our kuleana, right? Is to make sure that the iwi are where they're supposed to be, and whether that is in the place where they were taken from or in another place rather than in shoe boxes, in some shelf or in some Quonset hut somewhere, or who the heck knows where. So that's my number one thing. I also want to echo what was said previously, that there's no such thing as inadvertent. That whole concept of inadvertent makes no sense whatsoever, because we all know that they were buried with a purpose. You know, our traditional practices generally didn't advertise where these iwis were, but somebody knew where they were. You know, it's not like that they accidentally were put somewhere. They were all purposefully were put somewhere. And this whole inadvertent thing that basically a lot of the developers hide behind, right? Because there's no way that you can survey 10,000 acres or even 100 acres, you know, whatever the acreage is, and pretend that you know and you found every burial on these large developments, thinking of Hokulia, but anything that's over 1 acre, you know, chances of them finding everything, every burial, is just scientifically not even logical. And so then to say, you know, oh, whatever, we didn't find this inadvertent, that makes no sense at all. So I would, one of my hopes is that we would address that in the law, the whole inadvertent issue. So that's my second point. Third point has to do with fines. According to the burial law, when people, when developers, when landowners disregard the law, there were supposed to be fines attached to that. We have been asking through the whole 8 years that I was on the Burial Council, my fellow member, Dutchy Safri, had asked SHPD, who has been getting fined and where does that money go? And we never got an answer to any of that. I'll give you an example. Mr. Deleuze, who some of you may know from Hawaii Island, the person that he had hired to take care of an area up in Kaohe, Ahupua'a, which is the area of Mauna Kea, way up high, illegally bulldozed, because up there nobody knows what's happening, illegally expanded his reservoir by bulldozing a burial mound that was an Ahupua'a marker of three Ahupua'a that meet up there at the specific point. It's called Pu'o'iwi, so everybody knew that it was a burial marker, but the manager, you know, because of that, Mr. DeLuz, because he's the landowner, they decided to bulldoze that, shredding our kupuna, you know, literally. And nothing, to our knowledge, has ever been done. I don't think he received 1 cent of fines, and it has not been restored. Nothing has happened to my knowledge. Now, if something has happened, I would love to know about that, but we never find out what happens. And in this case, when you consider this was in 2010, you know, his fines right now should make SHPD rich, because if he got the fines, that sometimes a small landowner that does one little thing illegally gets fined for, then what happens to these large landowners that bulldoze a whole burial mound and get away with it? Because as I said, to my knowledge, nothing has ever been done with that. So this is my third point, fines. Who gets fined, and is it a fair and equitable thing so that everybody gets fined and not just the small fries, but not the guys with the connections? And B, where does that money go? You know, because in some cases, if it's $1,000 a day fine, you do the math from 2010 to 2021, how much money that is, you know, and it's supposed to be some significant fines, because some people, while I was there, got significant fines for a relatively minor infraction, where others, to my knowledge, didn't get anything. So that's third point. My fourth point is actually, first, the kudos, which I'm kind of, you know, I want to give credit where credit is due. Thank you for finally, Shipti, for finally updating the website. That website was not current for decades, certainly during the time when I was serving, and reflected inaccurate terms of the burial council members. So thank you for at least now, when you go on there, everybody is 22 and later, rather than having people that whose term expired in 2019 or 18, how it was until very recently. However, the whole deal of how these terms of the burial council members are determined, so far, to my knowledge, is completely nebulous. And Shipti is making this up as it goes along. Sometimes you automatically get the extension from your first 4 years to your second 4 years. Another time it has to be approved by the Senate. Another time they say, oh, you only get 2 more years. I mean, and that's from our personal experience. So that also needs to be clarified in terms of what are the terms of the, as far as getting a renewal for the other 4 years, and how does it work? And not just somebody coming up with whatever they feel like, and then it's saying, oh, you have 4 and now you get another 2, but blah, blah, blah. So that whole part, that process, is not working, in my opinion. Next point would be which district gets how many representatives, and what are the residency qualifications of those representatives? So since I've been involved with it, we had Kona had 2. Right now, when you look at it, Kona only has 1. Kona on Hawaii Island, A, because it was the residence of Dali, has most of the issues when it comes to burials. So how come Kona only has 1 right now when it used to have 2? Hamakua has 2, which hardly ever, and I'm just giving you the example, hardly ever has any burial issues. Puna, which is huge, only has 1. Kau'u has 2. Who makes this up? Because it changes like I change my underwear. I mean, there's no logic behind it. Who does this? Who makes these decisions? And how can you make those decisions when there's supposed to be a law that says they are district representatives? So 5 minutes ago, Hamakua had 1 all this time, and all of a sudden now we have 2. And I'm this has nothing to do with the people who are on there right now. This has to do with the process that is completely nebulous and arbitrary, and somebody is shaking it out of some puka, and that's not how it's supposed to be. And so that's a really big issue. And then are you supposed to be living in that district that you're representing, or can you live in another district and just be chosen to be? Because I don't know. I don't know how that happens, because originally the point was you represent the district that you actually live in, or that you have a major genealogical connection, means you really know all the people from there and you're familiar with all the issues. But that's not, that doesn't seem to be happening. Again, a very arbitrary thing. So those, I think, for me, my major points is, where are the iwi kupuna that are supposed to be reinterred, and when will they be reinterred? Getting a definite schedule and an accountability on all the iwi and a timeline for that. The second one is to deal with the inadvertent issue in the law and change that, because there's no such thing as inadvertent. The third one is the fines, accountability from SHPTI on the fines. Who have they fined so far, and where did that money go? Right? If it's going back to SHPTI, that's fine. We just want to know where it goes, and we never ever got an answer. 8 years of Dutchie Safri asking that same question during every single burial council meeting. And then next part is the terms of the burial council members, that is all clearly specified, so people know how to get from 4 years. Do you get an automatic extension where if you want to serve another 4 years, which would make the most sense since our dysfunctional legislature, not just post-COVID, but pre-COVID, you know, takes forever to do anything kind of thing. Whatever it is, it needs to be spelled out. And then the final one was the district representation. How is it determined which district gets how many representatives, and what are the qualifications as far as residency is concerned when it comes to representing a district? Mahalo nui to all of you folks for the work that you're doing. I want to mahalo malay. I know this is a very heavy kuleana for all of us, and I know for myself, out of all the many jobs that I have and had, being drained after the end of the day after a burial council meeting, you know, there's nothing else that has drained me as much as doing one day of burial council. So I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for the work that you're doing for our iwi kupuna, because there's nobody else to speak up for them. It has to be us that speak up for them. And I want to really, really mahalo all of you. I also want to mahalo Kai and the work that you're doing. I love you, brother. And everybody else that's in the communities, shows up to the meeting, that presents testimonies, and that makes sure that our kupuna, as much as we possibly can, are able to rest in peace. Because the trauma that they experience is our collective trauma, right? All the trauma that the iwi kupuna experience is in our DNA, and it directly affects all of us, whether we like it or not and whether we know it or not. So again, my deepest mahalo to everybody who has a passion and who takes the time and the energy, because it just takes such a special energy to mālama our iwi kupuna. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo nui loa ana ke ku. Thank you very much always for your ike, and that's why I love that woman. Aloha, everybody. Aloha, mai kai. We'll move on to the next testimony. Okay, so the next person to testify will be Deborah Lee Ka'ilivai Ray.
Oh my God.
Aloha, kako.
Aloha.
Mahalo for all the work that you've done, because I know I've been with you guys for like the last 28 years. So my name is Deborah Lee Ka'ilivai Ray. I am from Pu'uana, Hulu. And anyway, the process has been a long, very long process, 28 years. I keyed in some points here just to bring everything up to speed where I'm at. January 8, 1993 is when I first filed the burial sites registration form. That was done through back then Auntie Ruby McDonald, who was a Hawaii Island Burial Council member. It took 13 years for me to receive the lineal descendancy, and it was the work. Kai set the foundation, it was the work. Nale, you were there. Auntie Ku, you were there. And, you know, I recognize other people that was there. But here's the four things that's going on. Currently, there are 17 sites identified by the Hawaii Island Burial Council that was approved. There are currently five, and they're all of my tutus, that have been desecrated or at least in danger of being desecrated. I still have no access to most of those burials because they're in a gated community. And the ongoing problems, because I have to deal with these owners one by one, is number one, there's no burial covenants in each of those deeds, or as well, disclosure of those burials when they start flipping the land. I have so much many more examples of the problems that I've had, but I'm just going to be respectful, sticking to my 3 minutes, but here we go. I do have a comment. I emailed a letter on June 17th, 2021 to SHPD, seeking compliance and enforcement of the preservation measures for those SHPD sites, five of them specifically. I sent another email for an update on July 8, 2021. I'm still waiting for a response. I sent a letter to Trustee Keola Minzi on September 21st. No remedy, but hey, he at least sent me an email expressing concern because I also was inquiring about the OHA burial sites working group and the status of that. SHPD's silence speaks volumes of their systemic problems for the last 28 years. I do have something that I've been working on, and this I will share. And I can tell you it's fueled by what my kuleana is. It's fueled by the iwi kupuna. But here we go. So anyway, if you can see this, and I'm gonna, you see this map right here? This is a map of 17 burials in the gated community. There's still 50 more because there's two churches here that have our family cemetery. I need these things addressed. But anyway, here we go. This is a map that was prepared by Ms. Lokilani Brent. I met her a few months ago. I was discouraged. I was just dealing with these landowners and people moving here. It's been difficult for me, mentally, physically, and it just breaks me down. I'm a sixth generation from Pu'uanahulu. My grandfather, my mo'olelo comes straight from my grandfather. It goes straight to my mom passed away in 92. My father, a son-in-law took the mo'olelo, and we both worked on this to at least malama our iwi, our kupuna iwi, you know, and it's tough. So that project, I call it Project Nelson Pa'o. And what I did, and this is Lokilani, because Lokilani helped. I kept all my burial treatment plans. I kept all of the agendas when these items were on the Hawaii Burial Council meetings. I have a spreadsheet, but this is what I'm doing. So she helped me put this map together, and mahalo nui loke, because me too. I don't have any trust in the archaeological firms that I had to deal with, because number one, they made it difficult. I had an archaeologist, I mean, at the time of email, he faxed the burial treatment plan to me. This is like 2000. That's the kind of treatment that I had to deal with. But Lokilani, being that I gave some ideas and then she could help me with this, she plotted all of, it's on red dots. And Kai, I'm not sure if you got it, but it's in Red Thought. So I call it Project Nelson Ha'o because I took it in my own hands to do a burial inventory for my family and to educate them and bring them up to speed what the Kuleana is. Should I be gone tomorrow? But it was Lokilani Brett and her and my trust for her, because trust is zero that I have to deal with, whether it's Shifty, whether it's other archaeological firms, and then again with people coming in from the outside, not listening to what you have to say, doubting everything you have to say. So it's tough. It's real tough. But this is my resolution right now. And what I'm doing is I'm working on my own ohana. So I'm just saying, my niece is helping me electronically digitize the records and putting this kind of things together for ourselves and for us to help give it to other family members, meaning, you know, certain things confidential, but I'm willing to help whatever I can do. But that's been my 28 years of just trying to get this Kuleana, getting the Shifty, looking through all of this systemic problems. I worked, and here's another thing, I worked 8 years for a former council person. I see the problems in the county and state just don't like me. Left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. So what happened is these owners go through, hey, I don't have a burial covenant in the deed. I'd have to knock on their doors. And how do I get treated? Huh? They don't even want to hear it from me. They don't even listen. So that's the reason why I wrote that June 17 letter, or I emailed that June 17 letter to Shifty. Because I need them to be here, to be present, and to help me. I got my documents together. I got my situation. I know what I'm talking about. But zero. No response. So I'm just wanting to put it on record. That's why I'm here. You know, it's frustrating. But I know it's fueled by tutus. I do know. That's what keeps me going, because I have Kuleana and I'm passing it on to my children. You know, they're the seventh generation, and I have two granddaughters, so they're the next one. So I'm just sharing, but it's like hell. I mean, I'm sorry for the language, but Hana Malie is what my dad told me. I lost him in 2017, but he was always at those meetings because he knew that my grandfather gave him Kuleana, so he made sure he passed it on to me. And he also did it's my 32-year-old son. When we see activity happening, it's short of what my dad did. My dad stood in front of a bulldozer until I could get Mark Smith out from Shifty to document what was happening, because desecration of the burials of our cemetery. You know, I have Mo'olelo written where my grandmother, and that's that cemetery, was living up here in Pu'uanahulu in 1860. So there's deep, deep, deep Kuleana here. And like I said, it's pretty heavy. And I agree with Antiku that burial council meetings that I used to go through or sit there, I mean, it took every bit of energy from me. And then just to have to be refueled, you have to just dig deep, big time. So I'm here to share that, and I'm for solutions. Believe me, I have a whole bunch of things that I have running in my head, but I can only take care of what I can take care of as much as I can. And it's starting with my ohana and bringing them up to speed, knowing what the Kuleana is, and moving forward. But I'm here to, you know, to answer any questions you may have, but I mahalo all of your work. And I truly appreciate you, because I think that was the other fuel that kept me going. You both have some fire that, man, when I would come to the burial council meeting, especially Auntie Pelihanoa, oh yeah, that was cool. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui for sharing your Ike with us. Sorry, this stuff's very emotional. But I like that. I like that. especially when we hear the names of council members that have transitioned to the next realm. And for me, it was an honor and privilege to sit with those elders. as a lot younger man when these kupuna were on this burial council. So that was always a blessing. But thank you very much for sharing what you have with us today. And again, those same concerns we're hearing across the Paiaina for the last 30 years. So mahalo nui. Okay. We'll go to our next presenter then. Anake Sharon, you're up next.
Mahalo. Can you hear me?
Aye.
Mahalo. I'd like to thank all of you for being here. I found it extremely interesting. I especially want to say that I agree with Anake Ku, that representatives, I'd like to know if they live in the district. I'm happy to know that Ka'u has two representatives now. I'd like to see Kalena helped in Puna because they are large. I'm here today because my kuleana with my ancestors covers almost the whole island. But I want to address Mo'ula. I told you folks at the last meeting, burial council meeting that I appeared, that I would not go away. So what I'd like to address today is the fact that changes and changeover as to the key for myself and my ohana, because I am in the process of showing and teaching my keiki and my mo'opuna to have the kuleana to address our iwi kupuna. And mo'ula, I have not heard anything. When we last met, it was said that steel grates would be put at the caves. I had asked for pohaku. The kahawai is right there. I'd like to find out if the steel grates were ever put. The caves are very fragile. I showed you folks photos. Also, keys to Mo'ula. Who do I call now? I'm tired of having to deal with an archaeologist that is so extremely busy that he never calls. Shipit has yet to call me. Kea, you have not called me in regards to any of this. Cattle. Is the cattle still there? Or if and when I'm giving permission to go and visit and take our keiki and mo'opuna to see our ohana there, do I need to have to walk to Mo'ula, to the caves, where tall grass grows? The grass sometimes are over 6 feet tall. So if I have permission, I like to know who to contact, because I'm going to have to ask, are the cattle there? Or may I take a weed whacker to cut a trail? And then I need the GPS to get there. When Anake Maxi was on the board, she brought up the fact that sometimes it is extremely hard for us to go visit. So I'd like to have clarification on all of this. Most importantly, there is a fence to go and surrounding the area. Once you get there, you have to lift the fence and crawl through it. I was told that there would be a gate. Is there a gate now? And if so, is it locked? And would that mean another key? And would I have to be accompanied by someone to be able to go visit my ancestors? These are things that I think everybody would like to have addressed, whether it's Mo'ula or somewhere in Puna or Pololu Valley. where I had asked my children and grandchildren to go. So these are my concerns. They may be concerns for others that are listening. I would like to have a phone call. I will not be going away. It's my kuleana. It will become my children's kuleana and definitely my grandchildren's. So I would like more of the burial council to be more transparent. I would like to have, because there's too many, I believe when state is involved, you get nothing done. But unfortunately, we're supposedly part of the United States, and therefore we're supposed to adhere to their laws. So as much as possible that we try to adhere to their laws, I follow their laws. Nothing has yet to be done. Nothing has been done for my ancestors. And when they come to you and they tell you, you need to speak up again. Well, I am speaking up again because I know there will be more of my ancestors. They're waiting, but they want to see what will happen at Mo'aula. So, mahalo, I hope to get your support, and God bless.
Mahalo, Ana K. Sharon. You brought out a lot of concerns just for one burial site, but very valid concerns. Again, concerns we've heard multiple times. And again, we're trying to get to the bottom of this so we can hopefully rectify these, again, these situations. But thank you for sharing. I greatly appreciate it, always. And I look forward to seeing you at our meetings in the future. Thank you so much. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo.
Thank you, Auntie Ana K. Okay, next person to testify we have here is Loki Lani Brand.
All right, aloha, ho, kako.
Aloha.
I'm really excited that this working group has been formed and that now we're sort of collecting testimony, and it's really interesting to hear all of these concerns. And I want to come to lend some mana'o as well to this working group, and hopefully we can improve our current situation with regards to our burial sites. My capacity, I work as an archaeologist, and I do a lot with our burials. So I see it from a slightly different perspective too, but I also work really closely with different ohana on Hawaii Island with their burials. And so it's I hope my experience can bring some light on some other aspects that I think is so needing attention and improvement. And one of them sort of goes back to, concurring with everything that everyone else said, but one of our biggest challenges too, coming from, on the archaeology side, is early on in the process, when people are going for development projects for EAs or EIS level, and they're having to get early feedback from these different department and agencies, I have seen multiple times letters that go out to all these different divisions, SHPTI is one of them, to give early feedback on whether an archaeological study done in 1992 is still up to, does it still hold? Is it still valid? Is the finding still good? Sites or any information like that. They're the one agency that never responds. They're reactive instead of proactive in the process. Department of Water and all these other agencies will respond early on to give these developers and landowners a heads up on hey, you have these resources on your property, you can anticipate these sort of actions to follow if you choose to pursue your development activity. But SHPTI is the one that never responds. It's always blank on theirs. And that's a problem, because when we start going out there. You know, I worked with landowners who said, this area was surveyed back in 2005. Therefore, we should, you know, it was accepted and approved by SHPE. We go out there for a site inspection and we find more sites that wasn't documented. You know, and of course, like Auntie Ku said, it's difficult when you're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of acres to capture every single thing out there. That's part of our job, but you know, we have to be as professional as we can and document everything that's out there. And so their lack of participation early on in the consultation process leads to a whole lot of trouble later on. So I would love to see SHPE participate in that stage of the process, because other agencies and other departments do participate. They're the ones that don't. The issues that SHPE is charged with managing is the ones that can cause the most upheaval. You know, and so I would love to see SHPE more proactive instead of reactive, right? Another thing that I wanted to point out is part of the kuleana that is not being fulfilled is continuously building our inventory of burial sites across the Paiaina. If we don't know they're there, we don't know they're there sometimes. Sometimes families inform us, we find them on maps. And we find them through archaeological, you know, surveys and those sorts of things, or, you know, inadvertently sometimes, you know, but we need to continuously build and not rely just on the archaeology to inform the location of burial sites on our island. You know, I mean, I feel like there's multiple times I've encouraged families that have reached out to me, like, you know, I take care of this burial site and I don't know if it's like registered with the state, and I'll try to look it up for them. And even that for me, as a professional with access to some resources that other people don't have, is difficult too. So actively building that inventory, and when I you know, reach out to SHPE to be able to get an answer, it was that burial site ever recorded? Simple yes or no. You know, but getting them inventoried is one aspect. And I understand we don't want to disclose information like that sometimes as a cultural practice and our belief system. But in this day and age, we have to be able to have information to make the best decisions that we can. So sort of, and SHPE being active in that process of, you know, families reach out to them, hey, I actually caretake a burial site here. Come out, give it a site number. You know, help them get recognized so that if there is development that happens in that area, these families can be notified right away. You know, landowners can be notified right away of those sorts of things. So I would love to see more proactiveness in continuously and ongoing, something that we do regularly to build up our inventory and making it accessible for our communities to provide that information to SHPE. Not like a walking into the SHPE black hole, you know, where you never know if you're going to get a response or anything. Like, I feel terrible for the families that are trying, you know. My other point that I wanted to make is enforcement and compliance. I know that I have seen families' burial treatment plans drafted, absolutely no follow through on whether that landowner is in compliance with that burial treatment plan. And that's a problem, because I'm basically sometimes writing burial treatment plans and though I don't even have the assurance of the landowner that they're going to fulfill it, just because the way the laws are written, it's attached to grubbing permits, it's attached to activities like that. So how do we know? I can write 1,000 burial treatment plans. What percentage of that actually gets implemented? And I'm talking about the building of the walls, the recording of these easements onto the deeds and titles of these properties. That's really difficult, you know, and because that's on the landowner to do. But if no one's coming after the landowner to ensure that they're doing, they're fulfilling those obligations, all of it's for nothing. And then we end up with situations like, you know, Auntie Deborah Lee, their family get burial treatment plans, but their family cannot go and access because the landowners act like ignorant. They don't know. Deny the families access to these sites. And I only... I have a limited capacity in how I can help sometimes. I try my best to exercise all of that. But we need enforcement and compliance on behalf of the state to make sure that these families can go out there again. Without questions, whatever the protocols are that was developed in the burial treatment plan, gotta follow them. You know, so that sort of rolls into my last point. Is ensuring compliance, right? And one of the problems that we've already and has been discussed is sort of, you know, the landowner that started the burial treatment plan might not be the one living there 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years from now, right? And if it was never recorded on the deed to the property, these landowners don't know that they're obligated to do that stuff. And so how can we ensure that every successive landowner, if we're not in compliance, how can we ensure any successive landowner will be in compliance? So I wonder if there's a way that SHPD could, you know, first we got to get a sense of who's in compliance and who's not in compliance. And secondly, develop a process, an annual process where these landowners need to respond to SHPD with updated contact information and be able to report on the site if there's any changes or issues that arise that SHPD needs to know about and the descendants need to know about. You know? So some sort of annual, SHPD sends a letter and they have to respond. You know, attach something hard on that so that they have to respond to make sure these families know who to contact 20 years from now, 30 years from now, because these BTPs are not attached to the landowner, they're attached to the property. So developers see themselves as, and landowners see themselves as separate from that. If they get rid of that property, it's not their problem. That's a problem. But if we're not recording, we're not enforcing the stuff that we're already doing, then it tends to fall apart in those areas too. No. And I think that's all of my main points that I wanted to share. If I think of anything else, I'll write it up and I'll submit it. But those are my main points that I did want to share and hopefully find some resolution and some tangible things that we can do to improve that. Maybe it's my optimism, my naiveness sometimes, I don't know, but I'm hopeful. Oye, Valeno.
Mahalo, Lokilani, for your input. It's greatly appreciated, especially for two different lenses, as a Kanaka Maole and also as an archaeologist, yeah? Also, thank you for mentioning what the Pilikia is, but also offering solutions, yeah? Okay, that's very, very important that we're offering those solutions to be able to assist in this the advancement of this this process. So thank you very much for everything you always share. Mahalo. Mahalo. Our next person to testify this afternoon is Keiki Kikipi. Keiki, you're on. You're next, Keiki. You're up next, Keiki.
Okay. You can hear me, Kanali.
Can hear you, brother.
Okay. Mahalo. Jeez. How much time you guys get?
Well, our meetings used to go to 8 o'clock. Yeah. 8 to 8. I remember those, bro.
I get more points than one porcupine. I get a Makalua version. So, mahalo, Loki. First of all, I have a clarification. I'm not going against Loki. What I was responding to is now the burial treatment plan had got an expiration date, right? And that was the recommendation of the council. So that doesn't kind of give me wordless, right? Get the input. But along the lines of the thing supposed to follow the owner, the landowner, that's what we was implementing the burial council when we was doing Hokulia Hokukano. They call that CCNRs. Was supposed to be put in. Remember, where all the different landowners changing. Finally, the guy went hands up, Nale. And he said, couldn't go. Had too many inadvertence popping up every week. Was over like too many multiples. And then we said, well, you know what? You got to do the thing again, the whole AIS. Right? And then they said, okay. The landowner actually went hands up. And he said, okay, what do you like? And then we told him, treat everything like a known burial. So we didn't deal with the inadvertent by talking to the owner, right? And we did implement, supposedly, like she said, who follow up, if they ever follow up. If they took on the recommendations, which never, or that the CCNR is actually something real that follows the land, as you say, not the landowner. The covenants, codes, and restrictions, CCNR. Yeah? Then on the sheep side, I know, hopefully this is more constructive than destructive. Yeah? No, really. I really appreciate the sheep for what they do, the guys. Not personal attacks on anybody. And about the thing about fines, I don't know where the money go, but I was there since Cayetano. I got out, I think, when Iggy just started. So up until, to my knowledge, I don't know, somebody can go really go verify and check, but to my knowledge, never had any fines inflicted on any violations. Was called donations. The guys that supposedly did the violation would had settled them with donations. That's why I never have record of any violations. Up until Tonale Miley, that's the only violation I know that ship from Hilo guys made was from Sean, went to the landowner, really affluent guy, but talked to them and when actually give them a citation violation. And they mitigate that thing, but the guy had paid the fine. That's the only fine I know that when citation was issued, and that was with Nale Miley. Before that, I don't think any citations, I think they accepted call that one donation. And I can remember when one violation was done by a certain party in corner, and they was gonna do this, that, and that's how they would handle them. And the other thing is, the recommendation was for cover the remains, and the construction was still going on and wasn't covered for months after. Because I used to go try, just check up myself if I was in the error and see how they was doing, if actually it was carried through. But wasn't always, especially the King guys with the most influence. Then, this thing, I may be wrong, but I hope you guys can check this out. I said, who are you looking at? Oh, Brother Jimmy. Hey, Nale, you went off my screen. Can you still hear me? Can you still hear me, Nale? I'm talking too much.
I can hear you loud and clear. No, not at all, bro. I can hear you loud and clear. I stay over here.
Yeah, shoot. So, boy. Oh, yeah. So the reason I came up with the 106 is this: all these experiences, all these Helva and Taumaha, I look at the 106 because the Native Americans had to fight a long time for this legislation. You ain't figure out, no matter how much you go to the state, they're gonna keep on changing administrations and whatever. But if the federal money was connected to the project, then they had to come and consult, not insult, the known Native Hawaiian organizations and or descendants, recognized Native descendants. And that process, the 106, also gives input into the cultural areas like Waihikapu or Waihipana. Also, the places for religious practice or other, other Kuleana that the family have inside there. So if you look now, after bringing this up, you will see really more often now that they're going to put in the paper, just like on barrel site notice, gotta go to the 106, this and that, like that. But that 106 is the one thing that all of us should look to, because any federal monies that are coming consult. So never mind this thing with the guest that get one up. Expiration date, and never mind what the Kupuna had said, because never have an MOA. No, that's not what's supposed to be. That's why I went to the 106 process. How that relates to this particular site in Kumukahi, they went open up 132. Now, maybe mistake, maybe oversight, maybe I don't know. But, like when she bombarded with all other stuff in 45 days, 40 days, 40 days, and it gets piling up bodies work. They look at what I tell, maybe, at my inference. They look at what's before them, and he says, oh, no, we're only going to do this road recovery. Just stay in alignment with the road, okay? So when they focus only on the road and the permit, they're not looking in the peripheral when what the road leading up to. So why? So I go through the 106 process, because when I asked AG, they assume they lock up. And then who answers me? Who answers me? The barrel specialist, the barrel specialist from ship, the lowest guy, not the lowest guy in rank, but on the thing of legality, I get in the response from from Kia. You know? So I think, oh, okay, that's the process, guys. Look into the 106 process, because they gotta consult. So that's why I said, so now you guys like, and then now they like do this thing, and they say it's expired or anything. Does no more bite? I feel worthless. I mean, contribute all that. I get all this money now. I get all of this learning, but I cannot do anything with them because they could say, oh, well, you know, actually the landowner. So I get one thing, because now that I look at and hear the Makua from Hawaii, and I think his name is Rupert, Rupert Rowe, not Rupert. Yeah, but anyway, and now he's Manao, it's true. He got good Manao with them. Because if we're supposed to adhere to the law, then it's like an Ahupua system. Here's the feds, here's the state, here's the county, here's the landowners. So when you hear me say the 106, you see me. I'm desperate. I'm not going to do anything. You guys can go back to the same process and we can get into these discussions and recommendations. But the only way I'm not technologically savvy, so I need somebody else do the thing for me. And hey, that's why I come out with the 106. You should really explore that, because that's where I gotta go until these guys are kind. They didn't get one plan, and they can tell us what the plan. So you know what? Because we're not, just like Kai said, you know, it's also of the living. And I do believe it's also of the living. So to protect the barrels, the whole area that they did develop them, then we go doing Pu'onua. And we actually was talking about before going and stepping over the stuff and rushing now because of the money is available, recovering everybody, like getting interest, wanted to do a World Heritage Site, because we're going to answer all the questions. How are we going to fund them? How the thing going to sustain the community? How after this process gone, how does it continue to protect the things that we want to protect? Everything there, right? Everything there in perpetuity. Perpetuity, how? It's not by the state or the county. Look, they keep changing with every different regime change. So that's why I kept saying the 106 process. I pray you guys look into that. Because even like Ship, I kind of feel bad for Ship. Because when we go meeting, the equipment not even working, right? I look, wow, how come that thing not work? How come we no more minutes? And we're 2 weeks ahead, I'm supposed to read the minutes. I had the meeting, reading the minutes, trying to keep with the meeting. You know, all this kind of stuff, I think we can work with, but if we're going to keep on going to the state, then we know we're in deficit, because we see, like even the person that's in the same talk from Pu'anahulu, I remember her coming. I mean, I think I met her father, her uncle. I remember them. Her and KKL. I mean, I remember them. But see, same thing. I feel bad. Mahalo to you, Jimmy. You're still at it, bro. And you're making it work. Mahalo to you. Bro, you're getting working. Mahalo. No ass. Let's go home. Right? So that's why, guys. Yeah, I'm not the most articulate, but that's why. That's why I look at the 106 process. You guys like an answer? Look at the 106 process, but just like Rupert said, it acknowledges the Kupa Aina or the natives, what they guys believed and practices, not just the barrel, but the barrel is the predominant thing in our practice and our beliefs, right? So sorry, I seem so windy. I wasn't going to say anything. But I think you're like, you know, that's why, right? That's why the 106. Check them out. Mahalo to all of you guys, everybody, really. Lilelani, all you guys. Mahalo. But when somebody come, we don't plan for you and tell you they already do, and they're doing something, negotiating with the state, with the university. And Lasseter said, he never know. Wow, bro. Okay, I give you that. But never know about us. We'll grab the files. And that's my other thing, guys. Where's the files? Where's the files and the maps that Loki asking? Because where's the repository? They say, where the EV? Well, where's the, where the guy? What happened in the interim? Why are we going to move up to here? Where is that facility? We know more. One more thing, guys. Every 10 years, we're supposed to review the EV that's supposed to be at the national park and over there at the museum. You guys didn't do that. Nobody remind you that we're supposed to go there and talk about that once. Then we close that case when we give them an hour on what happened in Kauai High, where those things. Because if we leave them floating there, we're not going to address that. And my poina, because every 10 years, we're supposed to go over there and give some consultation. Remember that one, right? I know you're too much in your face, but that's the kind of stunt. I don't know on computer, but I got a bad memory. I got a hard time forget all this ever. All this come out, hard time. Yeah? But I mahalo all you guys, and mahalo to you, D. Thank you for staying there. And mahalo for keep working. Every one of you guys, really appreciate you guys. Thank you for this opportunity. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Keiki. As always, mahalo for all your EK.
Maybe no more can his name, but I think it's someone else.
Okay. Let's, if you don't mind, we do have Kioni.
Yes.
We do have Nicole next. Can you go after Nicole? Do you mind?
Yeah.
If you don't mind. Sorry about that, brother. Because she's,
it's okay.
But just to let you know, Keiki, you're one of the most articulate Kanaka I've ever met. You know, and I'm going to say that over and over again, bro. To hear you speak is unbelievable. So mahalo, cuz, for all you do and keep doing. Mahalo nui. So we're going to turn the time over now to Nicole. And then after that, we have Kioni. Yeah? Kioni Kalabe. Nicole, you
sure? You sure? Can Uncle Kioni can go?
You sure? You okay
yeah,
with that?
Not first. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kioni, no. Kioni, she's conceded. She's going to let you go first, and then she's going to go after you.
Okay. No, I just want to, you know, kind of like, cover several things and also get some questions. As you know, Keiki and I, we've been down there for, you know, a long, long time. And, you know, when you had the desecration of 1999, we went through the whole procedures with Shivdi, right? We got recognized as recognized descendants, right? And when people say, oh, you get not have been doing nothing for 20 years. Yes, we did. We continued to do our part, to actually go and check out the sites. And like I said, the only time we couldn't go around there, when we had the lava flow in 2018. So, you know, so my concern is, as recognized descendants, yeah, and we went through the process, we got recognized on, you know, the Palapala 2002, okay, to show, you know, the cemetery down there. There's our Ohana Cemetery. My question is, can, you know, one entity come in, you know, and which is they're not even affiliated with the cemetery, they're not lineal descendants. So my question is, can the landowner transfer our cemeteries to this entity or individuals who are not lineal descendants? Because right now, I just want to make it clear, KK and I, they're not affiliated with, you know, other entities down there. We're separate. And like I say, we lineal descendants, that's our cemeteries, and that cemetery belong to us because we are lineal descendants, and that's our Ohana. So can anybody, you know, address my questions?
That is an exceptional question there, Kioni. Kai, you have anything? Again, I'm just going back. Well, I heard Kai say, or somebody mentioned earlier again, that landowners or the state don't own the EV. They're just making sure that you, as a lineal descendant, get access to your EV.
Right. Yeah?
I'm not an attorney, so I can't make those kind of calls, although I don't even think attorneys should be making those kind of calls. But in my mind, you guys should get preference as lineal descendants to claimants to those EV.
My question is, can a landowner transfer our cemetery to somebody else who's not even a lineal descendant or not Ohana? That's my question.
As a borough council member, I'm going to say no. But again, let's get some other input as well, please.
Yeah, is Kai around?
Yeah, Kai is right here. He's right here. Kai?
So not rendering any kind of legal advice, but in general, it is true that the landowner doesn't own the EV, nor does the state. The state in 6E holds it in trust for the descendants. But as a matter of basic land law, cemeteries on land, the land gets sold and transferred all the time with cemeteries on it. Again, the landowner doesn't own it. So it becomes a legal issue of what are you conveying? Are you conveying just the surface of the land or the meets and bounds? You're certainly not conveying the bodies there within because you don't own the bodies. But all throughout Hawaii's history, since early 1900s, land has been transferred title over and over again, and cemeteries and known and unmarked graves. In Hawaiian usage, I think Kamakau noted that, the burial rights belong to the people forever. If the ali'i came and went, konohiki, it was the people who had the rights to the iwi. And of course, that whole system changed once you monetize land, and land could have been owned outright in fee and sold. So that's the big basic legal question that you're asking. Because right now it falls under Western property law of can you convey land? Yes, meets and bounds, yes, TMK. And there happens to be burials on there. Well, you're not technically conveying the bodies because you don't own them, but the area where they're interred, unfortunately, is being conveyed. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't agree with it, but off the top of my head.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Not okay, Keone.
Check out the landowner's genealogy.
Anything else you'd like to add, Keone?
Check out the landowner's genealogy.
No, but okay, another point is we need to check out the landowner's genealogy.
Yeah.
That's the thing is.
Where is title? What's the hell is that? I gotta be here, right? How do we know? If you're selling something, it don't belong.
Well, that's it. That's all I have.
Mahalo.
Valid point, Keiki and Keone. Mahalo nui loa, Keone, for sharing and always asking very poignant and pertinent questions. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. Let's see here. Nicole? Ko manawa ke olulu mai? Need to unmute, Nicole. Kalamai, thank you.
Oops. Oh, no. Hi, Loki. Oh, my gosh. Hi, Debbie. I know the kuleana you folks have had, and Debbie and the rest of the kupuna and those who spoke before me. I haven't been involved in Ibi kupuna issues as long as you have, only in the last 12 years. But I did have an opportunity to work with a great genealogist, Analu Josephides, and he taught me a lot and got me started on this journey. And I'm so thankful to him and to Ku Kakalau as well. And I'm sorry that she's not here, but I was part of the group that went up to Koholalele and Kaohe. On the that property Dilus, and I did find the first Ibi Kupuna fragment was on the ground, and we did a search on the ground and found more fragments. It was very sad. Before I start getting emotional. So my question is to Kai Martial. Aloha Kai, I heard so much about you and all your great work, and I finally get to see who you are. Not that I didn't, but now I get to see your face and close. And so we're giving comment to you, and you're taking that back to the state and sharing our comments and our mana'o with the state. And then from there, you folks are going to come up with this plan. Is that what it is?
So the group, the working group itself is made, yes, it's made up of Borough Council members, a representative of the Department of the Attorney General, SHPD administrator, History Culture Branch chief, two Borough Site specialists, some EV practitioners and community members involved in, you know, cultural resource management for years. And I think the governor is supposed to appoint a landowner rep, but that hasn't happened yet. And I'm trying to think who else is on there, myself. And basically, it's to examine the issues, the systemic issues, and get as much Ike Mana'o as we can, and then produce a report with findings, and that will go back to the legislature. So the legislature will take that, and they could hold hearings. They could make bills. They could ask for audits. They could ask for more resources for staffing. And there's a litany of things they could do in response to the report. So,
response to what we're telling, what we're sharing now, with you folks.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I just need to, comprehend all of this. And so, number one, my first point that I would like to make is right now I'm serving as a commissioner on the Cultural Resource Commission, and it's my second term. I have another 5-year term, and what we did, because of all the preservation plans, so what we did is we created a subcommittee, and that subcommittee's purpose is to review all of the preservation plans. Then we contact the landowners, the descendants, whoever else has connection to these places that's supposed to be preserved. And then we do a site visit, and we write a letter to the mayor after our site visit. And we let them know either the landowner is in compliance or not. So I was wondering if the Borough Council, it's not that I'm asking folks to do this, I'm just sharing my mana'o. Maybe a subcommittee could be created to go and look into the burial sites and see if the landowners and the property owners are in compliance of the burial treatment plans, and check up on them. And I know it's going to be a lot to do, especially with burial sites and burial issues. But it's just one of my mana'o that I wanted to share, possibly creating a subcommittee off of the burial council, and seeing if that might be a way, a conduit to between the landowner and and that way, Loki brought up really good issues about, the access and all of that other stuff, and even into sharing. And I'm so glad that you folks brought this up, because that's always been an issue. And I tried getting into some of the burials that I'm a descendant of, and find out that the people died, or the phone number has been changed, or the gated community code has been changed, and I can no longer go in there. And so I think, these things would really be good if somebody, aside from, Fair Council, can look into this and keep up with the
the barrel treatment plants, and because like Lucky is saying, she can write a million barrel treatment plants, but what, there's nobody to check up on it and nobody to follow up, and that causes a lot of problems. And that was one of the things I wanted to share. And the other point, I've been involved in reinterments for the last about 10 years or so, and I've done reinterments with Jimmy, my cousin, and Ali Aloha Ayao, and I've learned a lot from them. And I've also been the lead on some of the reinterments that have happened here in Kona. And I find that we have a hard time finding baskets and kapa and kaula. And not that we need it, but I was thinking maybe Oha or somebody could come up with a grant and possibly the community can make a list of the lauhala weavers, the kapa makers, and then we can grant money to these people and they can make baskets. So, and then they can be possibly housed at the Oha office, maybe, I don't know. And then we can go to the Oha office and ask for baskets that we might need, because sometimes we come up short. We don't have the baskets because Ace Hardware run out. And there's one made in the Philippines, yeah. I mean, not that I'm against the Philippines or whatever, but it would be nice to have baskets made by our own cultural practitioners and kapa and kaula. And that's a big issue for me. And some of us, and sometimes we have to run around and we just did a reinterment, and thanks to Kia and Chris, they helped me out, and we did, they sent baskets and kapa and kaula to me, and I'm so thankful to them. And Jimmy and I and other people of the community, we got together and we did reinterment of, and we reinterred 16 baskets of Ilikupuna. And it was a beautiful night, and but the running around looking for baskets and kapa and all of this stuff was really, was really a problem. And so I was, that was just another thing that I wanted to share of my manao. And I think I'm proud.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're on mute, Uncle Nale.
I think I noticed by now, to all these Zooms. Mahalo for sharing your EK with us, Nicole. I'm really glad you're able to make it today. When I saw the dissensi claim, Akua went guide. You know, that's why you stay with us again today. Yeah. So mahalo for you and Jimmy, of course, Keone and Keiki as well. Because I know you guys have been involved for numerous years, and I always appreciate what you guys have to say. And what more importantly, what you guys do. You guys just don't just do the talk, you do the walk. And which is very, very important. Which is very important. Is there anybody else that would like to testify this time? Anybody else that's still left on the Zoom with us? Any Borough Council members? Scott, please.
Yeah, I had two things, and about three of the speakers brought it all up. It all has to do with compliance and enforcement. Even Nicole's speaking about it. You know, how the hard part is the enforcement. You know, we can go back and check, and we can go over there and see the homeless and try to move them out, but you need enforcement. At least Jimmy got that all lined up. You know, he got all these ducks in a row, but compliance and enforcement, they got to go together. They were, you know, Debbie brought it up, Loki brought it up. So, you know, that's one of the main problems with Shifty, I guess. You know, we'd have to put everything back on Shifty. But, you know, to go and see if these people are meeting their requirements, and maybe even, you know, put the whatever the contingency is regarding the burial, put that as a priority, you know, give a timeline. You know, you guys got to do this before the rest of the project can even begin, because they go on with their project and they don't, you know, nothing happens because they don't care already. they got past that point of what they wanted and what they needed. So, you know, that was one problem. I mean, one thing I want to bring up. And the other important part to me, and it was brought up by everybody, was inventory. You know, and we as a council supposed to be hand in hand with Shipti on going through the inventory, you know, and not even trying to take care of all the EV, just going to the ones that's already stored, which every island has containers full of EV. You know, they should be put back. We shouldn't just be talking about everything, and because you talk about everything, nothing gets done. So we can at least focus on the ones that's stored. You know, I mean, so that's my two concerns, was just the compliance and enforcement and the inventory. And we, I think sometimes we don't even have agenda, but we meet and talk story, you know, about burial council stuff. But, you know, that's a good time to meet up with Shipti and go over the inventory. Because that's I was watching last night's burial council meeting. And that was one of the big problems, too, they had, you know, inadvertent. Then they say, well, was that thing inadvertent or is it in the inventory already? They didn't even know. So, you know, they should update the inventory so that they know if something's inadvertent, if it really is, or they already had a number. So anyway, that's all I want to say.
Mahalo, Scott. Mahalo for sharing your EK as well. As always, I very appreciate it. Mahalo nui. Anybody else? Because I'm going to chime in, Kalena.
Yeah, I was going to write my testimony so I could be more thorough and not take up time today in our meeting, but I just totally want an exclamation mark on the compliance and enforcement. That was really popping for me. That, you know, had to underline it on my notes. And mostly that and inadvertence. I can't stand how inadvertence get categorized. It's insanity and irritating. So I think everybody had beautiful points. Well, even the baskets and the kapa, you know, those are things you don't even think about. But because you're the ones putting the EV back along with, you know, Jimmy, we're out of that loop, but that was really important. And I think OHA would be perfect for that kind of thing, you know, that kind of grant funding and even bank and store that those items for whenever they are needed. But yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that it's the inadvertence and compliance enforcement. I'm almost ready to be hired as a cop, you know, to go be the enforcer, you know, put my vest on and go beat the woods and, you know, bust the people that aren't doing their work. Anyway, I just wanted to concur with you guys, and I'm going to write my testimony so I can be more detailed. We can go beyond four things, right, Kai?
Yes, anything pertaining to Evie. Yeah.
Okay. So. Right on. Thank you.
Mike, I know it. And I thank you very much, Kalena, for sharing your oral testimony as well as the written that you're going to submit. Nicole?
I just wanted to say, Kalena, yes, we do write letters to on the behalf of the Cultural Resource Commission to the people who do not comply with the preservation plans, and we let them know and we let them have it that, you know, you're not in compliance and you have to step up and take care of these sites. And some of them are not happy, but you know what? Yeah, they gotta face it. Yeah. So
Hello, Nicole. Thank you very much. Clifford?
So I got this question. If there's been a failure for compliance for over 20 years, nobody has made an audit provision to ensure that people are meeting this. I mean, I'm really baffled by that. And I'm kind of insulted too. Now, what I hear is basically this: prejudicial conduct and fraud. Right. So if Kai can address this under probate law, where the beneficiaries inherit that of the principal, we would inherit the EV as part of that property and also along with the INA. So why aren't we talking about this real stuff? Why aren't we talking about all the bullshit? That's my question. Thanks.
Mahalo, Clifford. Mahalo. Kai, you have any response to that?
Yeah, I wanted to, I can address that and kind of bring everybody up to date on kind of what's going on with the Barrel Sites Working Group and what's happening with the pervasive systemic issues of EVE in Hawaii. But I want to be respectful of that because I know you wanted to kind of add testimony into the record here as well.
Yes.
Would you like to?
Definitely. But okay. Time is on my side.
Okay. So I'm not giving legal advice and I'm not testifying now as an OHA employee. I'm testifying just as a former director of the Barrel Sites program. Horror stories upon horror stories. Keiki, Jimmy, Deborah Lee. I was just looking at emails from 2003 about reminding me of Pu'uanuhulu and the horrors of having Kupuna, Auntie Marjorie, Ka'ilianu come out and identify burial sites from 93, 10 years before. And yet the archaeologists were allowed to come in and test. Didn't see any Ibi in the mound, so nothing here, not a burial site. Scraped it clean, erased two kupuna, put a carport over them. And people throw the word genocide around a lot. But I'll tell you what, one thing I learned as a lawyer is you start looking at what transpired in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years, in 25 years. And you start looking at people's documents and emails and resolutions and actions and meetings. And what it does is it paints a picture for you of not only cause and effect of what transpired, but it paints a picture of motivation and motives. And it all comes out very clear. So what we have here is a burial sites program in 1990 from Honokohua and burial councils that were created. And it started to work. And in 1995, there was a big budget recession and the governor, Cayetano at the time, had to cut positions. Who got cut at DLNR? The Barrel Sites program. The director, Hale Aloha, got cut. Their cultural specialist and genealogist got cut. Their burial inventory person, Dori Lau, got cut. And it only left me, who had just joined, and our administrative assistant. And you know what DLNR's official position was? Well, everybody's hurting and, you know, we got to make sacrifices. And don't worry, Kai's competent. He's a lawyer and he has an administrative assistant and they should be able to handle the island, five island borough councils and thousands of inadvertents across the state. That's not conjecture and hearsay. It's in their public release. Then what happens? Oh, come to OHA. OHA, can you pay for these positions? Because the state don't want to do it. So OHA jumps in, pays for the positions. But guess what's happening at that time? You're getting into Hokulea, you're getting into Walmart, you're getting into these heavy hitting cases. Never enough staff, never enough resources. Then what happens? You look at the record. You know this burial site working group that the Senate and House put out? Senator Lorraine Inouye, your Big Island senator. And regardless of what people think of her, she met with the borough councils and tried to bring them together and said, we need to look at all these systemic problems. And this was, again, around 2003. What was DLNR's response? Deputy Director Dan Davidson. Oh, no, this is premature, Senator. You know, we're working with the councils. We're working on these issues. No, we don't need this task force. What happened in 2003 again? Associated Hawaiian Civic Clubs makes a big resolution saying, you guys got to support the burial sites program. There's not enough people to do the work. Support the burial councils. What was that? What's the SHPD's response? Oh, no. You know, we're looking at it now. We're dealing with it, you know. Then what did they do? 6 months later, their solution was they decapitated the program. They draw me into their office and say, oh, sorry, Kai. You know, BNF didn't fund your position after 10 years. I don't know what happened. But anyway, here's sign the paper and, you know, good luck and enjoy your life. Thanks for all your service. What a shame. How shame. So what I tell all the kupuna sitting in boxes and all the people waiting for me to help, like Debbie and them. That was a response of the state. And isn't it funny? In the beginning of 2004, I got emails to the AG and DLNR, Peter Young, chairperson, asking for investigations on Hokulea, all the sites that were discrepancies, all the problems with what was going on. Same with Walmart. Same thing. Same with, I got subpoenaed by NHLC to testify against DLNR for Walmart. All the havoc that was going on. And 6 months later, they couldn't fire me. Why? Because I was doing my job. I was doing my job. So what did they do? Oh, we unfunded you, defunded you. Next thing we know, we meet with, I'm out of there. I'm at OHA. OHA picked me up. And then the new SHP administrator, Melanie Chinan, comes to meet with OHA and says, there's no more barrel size program. No more. We're reorging it. We're going to like do this. It's going to be different things. And they killed the program. And what have we seen year after year with administrators leaving, conflict, problems? There's allegations of destruction of records in a federal lawsuit by David Brown, destroying records there. And it goes on, and the charade goes on and on. Meanwhile, what happened in the last 20 years? We got some major developments that went down in Hawaii, and somehow they got through and permitted, right? So where are we in 2021? In 2020, our kupuna are jumping in the trenches in Kaua'ula on Maui to stop the bulldozers from digging up Evie and getting arrested. Where is everybody? So I don't have much time at OHA left, but you know what? I made a commitment that he oni pa'a ka oia i'o. The truth is steadfast and unchangeable. So let the truth fly. Let's take it head on. So what's happening now is our brothers and sisters in Standing Rock, the Lakota Sioux, they're working with their congressional delegation now to have congressional oversight hearings. Brother Clifford asked about the audits. There were audits of SHPD in 2002, 2004, about the barrel councils, all the problems with the barrel council appointments. 2002, about the barrel sites program. You know what the audit found? The barrel sites program is in danger of collapse because they're understaffed and not enough resources. This is Marion Higa, the state auditor, telling the state what the problem is. What do? They dismantle the program even more. So now we're left with all this trauma, digging up our kupuna, which is irreparable. And Standing Rock Sioux put together a resolution, and they're bringing all the tribes together on the continent, starting to deal with NAGPRA first and foremost. But you got to remember, the National Park Service did an audit of SHPD. It took them 10 years. The OIG, Office of Inspector General, Department of Interior, come in and look at what's wrong with SHPD. They found all kinds of stuff with staffing and resources and everything. You know what they didn't want to look at? The burials. They closed their eyes on the burials and the burial councils. They said, oh, that's a state function. We're not going to look at that. But look where the biggest issues are. It's in the burials program. So Standing Rock, Brother Tim Mentz, and thank you to Polycarpo Deadman, representing Kau, Moko Keawe, Claire Pana, them from Maui. We got Kauai, Rupert's now in it. Standing Rock is going to their congressional delegation and saying, we want an investigation. We want the OIG and the GAO, Government Accounting Office, to come in, look at SHPD, and look at how burials have been destroyed in the last 15, 20 years. Tim could not believe it. And look, and with federal oversight and investigation. And why is that important? Because the barrel councils, you're an NHO. Under Section 106, you're consulted. And you can bring in Ohana and DeSantis to give testimony and give that to the feds. That's part of your kuleana. Your claimants under NAGPRA. And we know that with Honokoa Gulch, Forbes Cave, Kanupa. You know, Kanupa, they're trying to give the mea culpa back because they're finished with the case, prosecuted. One guy died. And the U.S. attorney's like, I want to hear from the HIBC, from Kalahui, from OHA, and Huimalama, but Huimalama dissolved in 2013, and Kuanakoa has their claim. But these Canupa artifacts are sitting in boxes for years now, waiting to go back in a cave or whatever the disposition is. Look at the trauma, the things happening. So God bless the Sioux, the Lakota, because they have three asks of their congressional delegation right now, and Deb Haaland. And Deb Haaland already contacted, she's a new DOI and Secretary of Interior. She's already contacted their tribe. The three issues he has, there's three issues. One is the thousands and probably going to be tens of thousands of children found in the boarding schools. I mean, they're up to 7,000-8,000 children already, and they haven't even got through the other 200-300 schools. The tribes want to assert jurisdiction over their family, those children. Doesn't matter whose land it is, they want to say, that's our children. Well, you can let us decide what to do. That's their first issue. Second issue, Standing Rock. When they were fighting the pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, they went to court and they put in court in declarations, there are 87 sites in this trajectory of this pipeline, including about 23, 27 burials. What happened that night? The company got their machines and they bulldozed all the sites before anything could happen in court, including the burials. And we know that happens here. So Deb Haaland and them are not happy with that intentional destruction of the Ivy. And what's the third ask of the Sioux, of the Lakota? Look at Hawaii, the horrors in Hawaii. What's happening to our brothers and sisters in Hawaii? That's what they're asking for. So we got our people ready to go. And there's people talking about federal lawsuits. They're talking about federal oversight. The state cannot handle anymore, yeah? The gig's up. And we have the proof. The proof is out there in the letters, in the emails, in the whole systemic dismantling and undermining of this law after Honokohua. So who knows how long I'm going to live, you know, if I'm not run over and poisoned. But I'm gig's up. So anyway, I just want to let you all know, keep faith. And this is very important, yeah? This is very important. Your mana, right? Like I said, aika mani loko kuhua lelo. You are speaking for our kupuna. And our kupuna are here. You'd be surprised who's communicating now from the other side. Kualii. And he's not koa. They're watching. Kamanava, Kameyamoku. These people are guiding us. So take faith. The battle is on. And it's a spiritual battle. And like Kualii said, in his time, yeah, the Ihele Laumeke, the Leomanoa was the battle. But today in this battle, it's spiritual. And our strongest force is not a weapon. It's aloha. It's love. And he wishes he used more love in his time. But he said, you know what? He never took life. This is the celebrated Oahu Mo'i who was undefeated in his battles. He said he never took life unless it was necessary and he was confronted. Because life, right? Life is sacred to Kane. And what people don't know about Kualii is he was a priest as well, a kahuna. And he was a priest of I, the Most High. And he fought under Ku, but he was a priest of I. And he doesn't want to be remembered for Ali'i, who was undefeated in the slaughter. He wants to be remembered as an Ali'i who maintained his soul when many others lost theirs at that time. So that's what I just want to leave you with. Thank you. I love you all. I love this EK. I'm going to be quiet and shut my mic off and fade away once the meeting's over. But I just wanted to share that. So anyway, mahalo.
Mahalo nui kai. Mahalo for that history. I think it's very important everybody knows that history, or at least hears it, and can begin to understand it a lot better, because they can see why we're in a precarious situation we are today, worse than we were even a week ago. Uncle Desmond.
I'm really pissed off now. Thanks, Kai. But it was a really, really great day today. Just I don't want to continue, but I'm going to get emotional. I've been in the struggle for years, and just to hear everybody, and you know what? Well, I just come, you know, it's like, we're not the criminal. We're the evidence over here. We know who the criminals that's committing, you know, the criminals. And I feel so bad for everyone that the struggle that, you know, I just mahalo everybody today. Mahalo ki akua. Just mahalo. With the evidence, you know, the crime. We know who the criminals are. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Uncle Desmond. Mahalo nui. Mahalo. I do want to say a few things. I will be submitting written testimony as well, but at least I got to get some things off my chest before we end this meeting. And again, I just want to preface this what I'm about ready to say, in that when I was majoring in political science and focusing primarily on indigenous and native rights, one thing I did learn is that we get choked paper rights, but nobody's enforcing those rights. And it's up to us to enforce those rights, because we can't depend on any government to do that for us, especially since we are an occupied nation at this point in time. And I've always lived my life with that, one of those perspectives in mind, since I heard that many, many years ago, back in the 70s for sure. But anyway, here I'm going to go. A few things that the ones that were mentioned already, I'm just going to briefly mention them, but then again, focus on the ones that I didn't think I heard. One of the biggest pet peeves for me, of course, in this burial program is that whole concept of inadvertence. I mean, that is a ludicrous term, especially when it comes to burials. My solution to that is that instead of inadvertence, if it's a project that's over a certain amount of acreage, I don't know if it's 5 acres, 3 acres, or an area where there was a large concentration of the populace before, that those areas be extremely scrutinized in terms of the EV that are there. And that be part of the process that is done. So it's not just, well, we were able to inventory the golf course and the roads, but that's it. That doesn't sit right with me, especially if you're dealing with choke acreage, you know, hundreds of acres. We know that other things are going to pop up. And especially if it's a high population concentration in Vacaico, for example, Kona, one thing I'd like to see is project updates. Every time it's been mentioned, every time after burial treatment plan has been initiated, we don't hear jack anymore. You know, I like to hear, and it's been mentioned in our burial council meetings, I like to hear whether it be every 2 months, every 4 months, every 6 months, or it's been mentioned, you know, you don't proceed any further until this gets done. These things get done, as mentioned in their burial treatment plan. But again, once they're gone, out of sight, out of mind, we don't know what the heck is going on there. And of course, to me, that kicks in the whole, again, enforcement and compliance. So we know that DoCare is probably one of the most underfunded enforcement agencies in Hawaii. We always hear about how they need more money. Either hire more people in DoCare, or create another enforcement agency where their kulana is strictly EV, since EV are part of our culture. I mean, they're part of the landscape. I mean, that's how it is. And also making sure that the people that are in these old agencies are reliable and honorable people, because some DoCare officers have done wrong things because they're out of sight, out of mind, in the bush all the time. Nobody knows what they stay doing, if even they stay doing it. Yeah, is another question. Okay, so again, that's a big one for me. Another one I heard today is, of course, missing landowners or ghost landowners. You know, after they sign off, it's like we never hear from them again. We don't know who owns the land, what's happening, and all this pilikium here about code changes and all, that's heva. I remember one issue we had in Kona, for example, before was the landowner wanted to, kupuna to go down a beach access. We know how nicely paved those are. Then go down the beach almost 100 yards and toss their makana up to their kupuna. And we just said, hell no, that ain't going to stand. But that's the kind of attitudes we get, yeah, that kind of stuff. So to me, again, these landowners need to be held accountable. We need to know who's the next landowner, who owns that land. How that's done, I don't know. I'm not too sure, but that needs to be done as well. Let's see here. We also need lineal and cultural descendants who've been recognized to step up and do their rightful duty. There is one incident I know of that what the lineal descendant did do was ensure that the road got passed through the property, and that's it. That's all they did. They've been contacted as well, and nothing's happening. So to me, if you're not going to accept that kuleana, you should be. It should be taken away from you. It should be taken away from you. That's just my own personal. Again, this is just my own. The Lake Akalau's Ike Manao, based on 4 tours of duty on this borough council. Let's see here. I know there's been talk about tax exemptions for landowners, but again, Why should they be getting exemptions when that's part of their responsibility to us to even be here? I mean, you know, like a friend of mine said, they can take home their religion, they can take home their laws and all, but you came here with no land. The land don't belong to you. And with that land comes the Evie. So, you know, it's always when it's a financial hardship or advantageous that people are going to do something like you should always buckle up in your car. Not wait till you're going to get a fine, and then you're going to start buckling up, you know? Or you should always be recycling until you get paid for it, and then all of a sudden you want to start recycling again. Anyway, I just throw out other examples. I will chime in on the Borough Council membership again. In terms of service thing is seems to be a toss of a coin. I know the last time I could confirm, I was told I didn't need to show up for the meeting on Oahu, and the next thing I know, I get a phone call by two senators. I mean, just pretty much railing it into me. Why weren't you there? All this kind of stuff went on. I said, your own office told me I didn't have to show up. I was surprised they even accepted me back on the council, because I can admit those two discussions did not go too well. I will not mention names here, but I have no problem mentioning names later on if need be. Let's see here. So that's always an issue. And again, 2 years, 4 years, to me, it should be automatic. If you serve four and you want to serve another four, you should automatically have that opportunity. Because usually 4 years on this council, even if it's and especially if it's your first 4 years, you're still learning. You're still learning. And that's why I always say this is probably one of the most honorable councils to be on. And if I could be on this council for the rest of my life, I sure would. Because it's taking time to learn the ins and outs. And even then, we don't even know all the ins and outs of what goes on. The permitting process leaves a lot to be desired. Again, you know, the county doesn't know what the state doing, state don't know what the county's doing. We've heard some issues where permits were given and then certain documents were not completed or definitely didn't come before the Borough Council. And that's, of course, HEVA. So that whole permitting process needs to be relooked at and revamped as well. Archaeological firms, for the most part, overall, to me, a lot of them are just, they're mercenaries. They're hired guns. They're getting paid to do a job for somebody. To me, if they're not going to do their job in the right way, they should be losing their licenses and other credentials. That's just my own, again, personal monotony. Or they should be at least held accountable in some way, again, monetary or whatever. Again, not trying to only complain or throw mud, since I'm also a taro planter, but also trying to find solutions to put the mud back in the taro patch. Okay. Let's see here. Again, clear and unimpeded access to burrows by Lenape cultural descendants, especially Kupuna. We heard about Auntie Sharon mentioning about how the grass is 6 feet tall. Don't know how she's going to access some of these things at all. I mean, the landowner should be responsible for making sure that descendants can get to these burial sites unimpeded and unrestricted. Let's see here. Again, fines to me need to be heavy. I know Kiki mentioned the concept of donation, but again, you know, who they donating to? That always worries me. You know, I feel that, again, the fine is a fine. And again, if that means even equipment gets taken away or whatever, that needs to be done. And you need to have somebody who has the alas to do that. You know, some organization that can do that. And I don't know if we can depend on government to do that or not. One thing I did learn in college, whenever you see a road going nowhere, that's a precursor to change. That something's going to happen. In fact, that whole class was nothing about roads. And they showed us all different roads throughout the United States, especially that affected indigenous populations. And how initially it was thought of as a good thing, but then when you saw the horrors that came in after, it was unbelievable. Let's see here. Last but not least, one of the things I want to mention is that I know there is talk of maybe moving this program from SHPTI to another organization. I'm not too sure what that organization will be. Again, I've heard that one organization that's being talked about is OHA. I will say straight out that I have reservations. With OHA, I know it's the idea of choosing lesser of two evils. For lack of a better term, although I will say OHA has in some areas done a good job. I won't say a great job, a good job in taking care of Kuleana, but in other areas, it leaves a lot to be desired. And Barrels is definitely one of those, man. Barrels is definitely one of those. So in lieu of knowing how they have not really supported Barrels, does it make sense? This is just more of a question. Does it make sense to put this program under OHA? Yeah. Or does a whole nother department need to be initiated? A whole nother organization, whole nother organization. Again, I'm not too sure. Again, I'm just putting up, I'm mentioning things that have been mentioned by other testifiers today. Also things that have troubled me for the last four times that I've served on the Borough Council. I will also want to mention that Keiki did mention that at the, one of the Hokulea meetings that the owner of that time did throw up his hands. And he did say that whatever you want, let me know and we'll do it. The trippy part about that is that those minutes for that meeting were lost. That was the only minutes that I know of, as far as I've been seeing on the Borough Council, that were lost. Okay. So I'm just going to mention that because I know Keiki brought that up. So even though it was mentioned, that those minutes were missing and we never were able to find the tape, the recording of that. And of course, those minutes were never confirmed or reaffirmed, or whatever the right term is. But I do know that, as Keiki had mentioned, that we've always made it a point to make sure that whatever BTP is passed, that it is put into the deeds and CCNRs, so that whoever the next landowner is has to abide by those laws. And maybe that's another problem we have, is that these new landowners are not being told what they need to do. Yeah, they shouldn't be asked, they need to be told, this is the law, this is what you need to do. Okay, and that's another, again, a big concern that I have. Again, I will be writing these down in written format as well, but I just wanted to get those off my chest before I head down to YPO tonight to cleanse, to regroup, revitalize. And that's something that I took upon myself as well, and again, not bragging at all, but I'm knowing that genealogically I'm connected to this Hamakua district and specifically Waipio, that I made it a point to interact with elders well, I always like to interact with the elders. They're more fun. Good mo'olelo you get, good ike you get. They took it upon, they took me under their wings and started showing me the grave sites down there. Many of them down there are not marked. There are no gravestones. And I make it a point at least once a month with myself, and our oldest daughter, to walk through this aupua'a to ensure that those iwi kupuna are still intact the way they were shown to me. You know, not me going up and fixing up, oh look nice, oh ugly, gotta make nice. Yeah, that's the family's kuleana, but again, to support those families who've supported us all these years. So I know Hamako is a big district. We are blessed, like Ku said, that we've had very few incidences in our area. You know why? Because in Hamakua, we get plenty of soil. We can bury deep, yeah? You know, so hard for fine. Hard for fine. so we can go down 6, 8, 10, 12 feet. We get plenty of ukele, plenty of lepo that we can dig into. But of course, one of our biggest nightmares has been the Deleuze property up at Kohe. A major pilikia and still unresolved. Again, unresolved. Yeah? And that's why I do not buy any cars from Deleuze. No offense to anybody else. I cannot support in other ways as well. That was a little commercial break there. But anyway, just wanted to share some of our Ike and how we're trying our best to support Iwi Kupuna from our district, but more importantly, to make sure that Iwi Kupuna throughout the Paiaina are taken care of and recognized for their importance. I'm just going to close with one elder once told me once, you know, boy, any Hawaiian suffering in Hawaii, you're suffering too. But any Hawaiian that's successful, you're successful as well. And that left an imprint on me. But unfortunately, I see more Hawaiians suffering. So the eha is very, 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 the kamaha is very, very heavy. But again, as long as we move forward, holomua, and keep these things in mind, and especially trying our best to take the punawa route as much as possible, with, again, aloha definitely included in that, everything will fall into place. I'm a firm believer of that. That's what it is. When I tell our students in high school, when I was their age, yeah, it was all okay, skeptical, maybes. When I was a 62-year-old kupuna, I can say it is a way of life. Yeah, you can make things happen. But you gotta do something about it. Okay, you gotta do something about it. So mahalo nui, everybody. Thank you very much for your time. Again, this has been an awesome meeting. Very heartfelt. Anybody else? Any other Ike they want to share regarding the testimonies for?
Mahalo, Chair, for sharing those.
Anybody else? Keone, you had something you wanted to add?
No, I just like, you know, to mahalo each and everyone for today. You know, gaining ike and also sharing mana'o on our long, you know, journey to resolve the burial in Kula. And mahalo.
Mahalo. And Kia Christian, you know what? No offense, but that Uber guy never showed up today at my lunch, you know. How about the other council members? You guys lunchmen show up. Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just checking, making sure. Hey, Kia, aloha. Okay, we do have one more agenda item. It's agenda item A, but this is discussion on Hawaii Island Borough Council memberships, roles and responsibilities, information discussion, discussion on the above item. And I think we've had a nice actual practice. We had the opportunity to practice our council membership roles and responsibilities today. So mahalo for this opportunity to be able to put our kuleana into practice. Very much appreciated. Anybody else have any other discussion about that agenda item? Yes, Kalena?
I just wanted to follow up with Keiki and the NAGPRA collection that's being held at the National Park. I think when we were having the eruption, Keiki brought it to my attention, and I contacted OPA's compliance office, and they reached out. We were worried about the summit collapse and the safety of the collection in the vault, and I was told that everything was fine, and it's still there. However, we haven't gone back to revisit that story. And I think it would be important for us as a council, as a Hawaiian organization, to ask for a meeting and to ask to see the collection and see if we can move it forward. I don't know where it's supposed to go forward. I'm not that person to make that, have those ideas, but at least get it back on the table again so we can take care of that. Because that collection came from the Forbes Cape.
Aye, polole. Thank you, Kalena. And again, that's one thing I forgot to mention was went over quite well. Is again that whole the Evie and Moipu inventories. I mean, they need to get home. They need to get home. They're waiting. Yeah, so they need to get home as soon as possible. So, any council members, based on today's discussion, I know I've been taking a lot of notes today. If you've heard of like the Honokoa Gulch, which is the Forbes Cave issue, or other concerns where Evie are probably still out there. Let's start agendizing these items so we can start having those discussions because that's part of our kuleana as well, yeah? To get those home to the lineal cultural descendants. Mahalo, Kalena. Mahalo nui for that. And like that 10-year inventory that Keiki talked about, yeah? You know, I hate to say it, it totally slipped my mind, you know? And it's already probably two times overdue already from what I can tell. Yeah, but thank you, for everybody, for that. Recording. Anything else?
Trying to remove the trees, the plaintiff.
Okay, well, again, mahalo nui loa, everybody, for your time. This has been we haven't had a meeting like this in a while. I'm even glad, though. I'm very proud of our borough council. That even if we don't have a heavy agenda, we still meet, like I said, like Scott said, to be able to go over things and kuka kuka and to start to map out what the future should look like, definitely for our borough council. But hopefully for others as well. Any last thoughts by anybody here? Yes, Nicole, please, Keolulu.
Uncle, I just wanted to share that I now work for Hanen Associates. I'm doing archaeology work with them. And they do have a Hawaiian field crew archaeologist, Salome Ka'ilihiva. And I just wanted to say that I'm happy that I see more Hawaiian archaeologists coming forward now. And I think, and they're doing protocol. They're being as careful as they can be with Ibi Kupuna and doing their excavation work and whatever else needs to be done for the landowner and stuff. And I know archaeology is contract archaeology in Hawaii. It is a kind of a destructive archaeology, but at the same time, I'm just happy that we have more Hawaiians in the field, and they're bringing a whole new perspective to this work and doing what they can to keep within the protocols and what needs to be done when they come across them. So I just wanted to share that. So. Thank you, Uncle.
Mahalo, Nicole. I totally agree. And for some way, we got to find a way to get these young Hawaiians that are working for archaeological firms that we're concerned about starting their own firms.
Yes.
Their own firms with better acronyms, you know, because some of these acronyms, if you hear them, you go, oh, yeah. Especially when you're like ASM, for example, for many, many years. But Lokilani has been able to add a new face to that, which is nice. But again, it would really be nice to see them starting their own companies. And then moving forward with that, because they do bring a whole new different perspective in Ike and Manawa, yes, this whole process. And without sounding rude or crude, there's certain faces when I look in a crowd that I know I can trust, and there's some I cannot. And I think most of you know what I'm talking about. And of course, especially when you are working with Evie, it's very important that you be as honorable as you can, as honorable as you can. Okay, mahalo nui again for that. Can anybody else, last minute thoughts? Kai, you okay?
I'm good. I just want to thank everybody. I really appreciate taking the time today to help us all. And yeah, very, very humbled and grateful. And I was thinking about what Koli has been sharing with gifted people. And it's in alignment with Manono. Yeah, as a closing thought, chief is of Kekuokalani. When her husband was slain and she... her dying words, according to Nona Beamer, their descendant, was Malama ko aloha, you know, to keep your love. We cannot lose that. A lot of anger, a lot of iha. We get mad at our own people, our own family, beefy. But you keep your aloha, right? Because that's, otherwise, all for naught to protect the kupuna. So that's all. Thank you. Love you all. So,
mahalo, Kai. Mahalo nui. And thank you so much for being here, Kai. Greatly appreciated. Greatly appreciated.
Appreciate your leadership. Thank you.
You know, you can come anytime you like, you know, every third Thursday, usually we meet 9:30 to whenever it is. You're cordially welcome to join us, brother. Please.
Yeah. Well, with what Clifford said earlier, I mean, I want to be on every borough council meeting on every island and just help give advice. I know the AGs appreciate me being there, or SHPD sometimes, because, you know, my advice really don't matter because legally I don't work for them anymore or the state, but I feel bad when, you know, you guys are going to go into an executive session on something and, you know, the AG or SHP, somebody needs to say, wait, you know, your decision will be challenged later, that the whole discussion was invalid because it violated sunshine law, you know? So it's a closed session. It's only for location description. You know, so that's what gives me concern. So I'll come and attend as much as I can, you know, and try and kakou. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that invitation. So thank you.
Of course, you know, we'll probably never ask the deputy AG for any advice after that, you know.
Actually, Lauren's awesome. She's on our working group. So it's good stuff. Yeah.
That's right. She is fully. Mahalo. Because again, sometimes you don't know whom you can trust. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
my cut, you know. Well, again, folks, mahalo nui. Thank you very much. Please take care of yourselves, take care of your families, take care of your kupuna, take care of everything you need to take care of. Stay healthy until we meet again. Our next meeting is scheduled for November 18th, 2021. And right now, again, via Zoom until further notice. Yes, Kalena?
Can Uncle Des close with the pulley for us, please?
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, I would like
to. Uncle.